This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وبعد. Respected brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. A bit louder. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I know everybody's hungry, mashallah. How many minutes left? About an hour for iftar. Alhamdulillah, it's an honor again and a privilege to be here in this country, in this city, in this area, Scarborough, and in this masjid, Jami' Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I've been here many times before for the November programs, which I'm forgetting the title. Pearls of Paradise, two or three times I've been, alhamdulillah. Once again, great to be here. First time in Ramadan al-Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasts, our ibadah, our taraweeh, our qiyam, and whatever we do. The most important thing is acceptance. May Allah reward all the huffaz who are reciting the Quran, leading in salatu taraweeh, and all the others for listening to the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One really important part of not just Ramadan, but especially in Ramadan, a very, very important aspect of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we know about, but I think we don't look at it from an angle that I want to talk about it right now. A very important aspect of our existence, our relationship, our connection with Allah. It's the fuel, it's the diesel, it's the petrol, it's the spirit, it's the energy of our daily life. Our Islamic life, our spiritual life, our daily life. And especially, it's increased in Ramadan. And what I'm going to say, it's simple. You'll say, oh yeah, we know about this. It's something we hear every day. We know it's part of deen. Which is dua. But we sometimes, number one, we haven't really understood what dua is. Number two, we sometimes don't know about the etiquettes, the adab, the manners, and the way of making dua. So what dua actually is, and how to make dua, what are the conditions for dua to be accepted, and what should we be thinking if dua is not accepted? These are just four things. There's so many other chapters. We can talk about dua in about 7 to 8 hours. Each chapter of the aspect of dua requires a good hour or two of explanation. Dua is basically talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling out to Allah. It's conversation. It's something we should be doing constantly. And along with dua, there's another aspect which comes hand in hand with dua. If you look at Surah Al-Fatiha is the essence, the summary, the khulasa of the book of Allah, the Quran. We recite it how many times in a day? So many times. Every salah, we are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is the summary, the khulasa of the whole Quran. And if you look at Surah Al-Fatiha, there's two things which come out from Surah Al-Fatiha. Which means the whole summary of the Quran, the whole summary, the khulasa, the cream, the essence of Allah's book. Two things. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, until there. All of this is to do with shukr, gratitude. Shukr of Allah. Alhamdu means shukr. We say all praise to Allah, all thanks to Allah. What does that mean, all thanks to Allah and all praise? We translate it as all praise to Allah or all thanks, but we say all praise. Hamd means praising, but praising in a way of showing your gratitude and your thankfulness to Allah. This is why a lot of the du'as, du'a and shukr is connected. Many of the du'a supplications, they begin with Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhhaba 'anni al-adha wa 'afani. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Many du'as. If you look at most of these prophetic du'as, they either begin with Rabbana or they begin with Alhamdulillah. Because shukr and du'a is together. So this first part of Surah Al-Fatiha and the summary of the Quran is shukr. I just took 5 minutes on shukr because I really want to talk something about, mention a couple of things about du'a. But shukr is something we should be constantly doing, shukr of Allah. Constantly. With verbally, we can say Alhamdulillah, but really it should be in the mind. You know, a lot of these things, whether it's du'a, whether it's tilawa, whether it's shukr, whether it's tasbih, whether it's istighfar, one is the external, outward, verbal aspect of it. That's just the aspect verbally. The real spirit behind all of this is to do with the mind and the heart. That can only come about if we have focus. And that can only come about if you know the meaning of what you're reading. Even salah, one is the external salah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and my mind is somewhere else. That's just the external aspect of salah. There's a real aspect of salah. When you're raising your hands, why are you raising your hands? What are you supposed to think when you raise your hands? When you say Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk, what does it mean? What should you be thinking in your mind and your brain? Otherwise, it's a robotic salah. It's a lifeless, soulless salah. The real prayer when we pray with khushu and khudu is the one where we know the meaning. When we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, so many times in our life, I mean, I think it's a crime that a Muslim lives for 60, 70 years of his life and doesn't know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. That is like a crime. They've been on every website on planet Earth, from eBay to Amazon, but they've not taken out 7 minutes to understand the tarjama, the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Every day we recite, this is unique connection with Allah. Then you go into ruku'. Why are we going to ruku'? What should you be thinking in ruku'? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. What does it mean? And in sajda, we say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Why al-A'la in sajda and why al-Azim in ruku'? What's the difference? What should you be thinking? Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Rabbana lakal hamd. All of this with focus. When you sit down, at-tahiyyatu belongs to Allah. Lillahi. Wat-tayyibat. What's tahiyyat? What's tayyibat? At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. What are these three things? What should you be thinking? As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What should you be thinking? Why are you doing this? Do we even know we're doing this? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The mind is in Tim Hortons. French vanilla. Double, double. MashaAllah. The mind is somewhere else. Iftar time, one of the worst prayers that Muslims pray is Maghrib Salah in Ramadan. All across, I don't know how it is here, but in the UK, it's like one of the worst and the less khushu' prayer for majority of the people is Maghrib Salah in Ramadan al-Mubarak. Because the mind is all over samosas and pastries and bhajiyas. That's where the mind is. And half the mouth is full with food sometimes. I don't know what the system's here, so I'm not going to say too much, but really, iftar time, the mouth should be clean. There shouldn't be particles of food in the mouth. It goes against the etiquette of salah. The mouth should be clean, rinsed. Half the time, people are rushing. This happens in the UK. I've mentioned it many times in many masajid, that the imam starts a prayer, and people are, it's like half, you know, the second rakah's gone, and someone's, you know, half samosa in the mouth and one in the pocket and someone's running here and there. And it's crazy. It's chaotic. Allah says, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. stand before Allah calmly. This is why we don't see the effect of any of this in our life. Because we just do the external, robotic, chore, a job. There's no real love for it. This salah should be, قُدْ جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. You know, your coolness of your eyes is in salah. Taraweeh as well. If you're asking, how many rakah? 16, 20. Then like, is your heart really, is it like someone with a stick telling you, pray? Taraweeh should be, I want to pray. I want to listen to the words of Allah. You go into ruku and your tears are coming out from your eyes. You go into sujood. You're thinking just before Allah, you're making sajda. The closest position that a person, a slave gets to Allah is in sujood. That's in the hadith. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فِي السُّجُودِ. So, all of this, one's an external format, external, and one is the internal aspect. Salah is just one, but I was saying all these other phrases as well. When someone says, Subhanallah, what should you be thinking? What are the deeper meanings of Subhanallah? When you say, Inshallah, what does that mean? When you say, Masha'Allah, what does that mean? What should you be thinking? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What should you be thinking? Surah Al-Fatiha, when you recite, it's a very deep, you know, the connection with Allah. This is how you build a connection with Allah. This is why some of our teachers, one of my teachers, Sheikh Mufti Taqi Uthmani, hafidhahullah, always mentions this point. He says that, you know, focus, connect your deen. Don't make your deen cultural robotic. It's like a robot. It just carries on. Make it your connection with Allah full of life. Which means that the mind, look, every human being, the mind is thinking about something every 24/7. Right now, you guys are all thinking about what I'm saying, hopefully, inshallah. I am thinking about what I'm talking about. 24/7, we think about something. Unless we're sleeping, then we're dreaming. But once we are awake, there's no, unless you're a majnoon, then you don't think. But everyone thinks about something. When you're driving a car, you're thinking. You wake up in the morning, you think. The mind is always thinking. In order to build a connection with Allah, try to think more about issues relating to Allah in our 24-hour day. You wake up in the morning, Islam is saying, don't think about your work. That's not the first thing you need to. As soon as your eyes open, you don't pick up your iPhone. As soon as you wake up, don't think about this interview and that meeting and that job and that car. And first thing is, Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. Why? Alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. Who just gave me life after death. I was dead for 7 hours. Sleep is a sister of death. So many people, their eyes haven't opened. Alhamdulillah, another fresh day. Ba'dama amatana. I had a close shave with death. Wa ilayhin nushur. But one day, nushur, I will not wake up. I'm going to return to him anyway. But today has given me another opportunity. And then you say, Allahumma inni asaluka khayra hadha al-yawm wa fathahu wa nasrahu. All the du'as. This is why you do adhkar of morning. Not just read them just like without thinking. Even Quran recitation. The real spirit of Quran. Look, this is a topic on its own and I talked about this. You definitely get the reward of just tilawah without understanding. Without a doubt. Some people think there's no point in doing tilawah of the Quran without understanding. That's an extreme as well. Because one of the objectives is tilawah itself. But real benefit of tilawah is when you understand the meaning of the Quran as well. And I actually mentioned it many times this year before Ramadan. And this is from my teachers as well. That one Ramadan, say I want to do one khatam tilawah with translation and brief tafsir. Every Muslim. It's not just for people who know Arabic. Every Muslim, imagine 70 years of life. I was saying Fatiha, a crime. But if you've got 70, 60 years of life, this book Allah has sent not to the Christians and the Jews and not to the Johns and the Toms. Send it to Abdullah and Zayd and Amr and Abu Bakr and Uthman. And we go in our grave and we have no clue what that Quran was except that it's for some ta'weez. Or some oath. Allah, Qasam, Allah, that's it. Or some, you know, that's it. We have no clue what is in that book, which was sent to us. We don't have to go into deep tafasir, but basic translation, I would suggest every Muslim. This is why the ulama wrote translations. You've got a real good translation in English, Noble Quran, written by Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Hafidhahullah. You've got some in Urdu. Ma'arif al-Quran is a beautiful tafsir in 8 volumes. That was written for the public. Simple meaning of the Quran. If you get stuck, you don't understand, go and ask the scholars. If you get stuck somewhere, what does this mean? Ask the scholars. That's what they are there for. So one Ramadan, do a tilawa with meaning. And then you understand. You know, I sometimes think that it must be so difficult to recite and perform 20 raka'at tarawih without understanding what's going on. I mean, for me, I'm thinking I would never able to do that. And we know the meaning, so it's easier listening, because all your mind is going through all the different verses and what's going on. Otherwise, it must be, I mean, that's a greater mujahada, maybe you got a greater reward. But this is, so there's one outward, one's inward. Real, you know, spirit of tilawa, of salah, of tasbih, of istighfar, of shukr. And this shukr, this is what I was talking about, that this shukr, alhamdulillah, majority of the dua start with shukr. Shukr is what? Basically, every step of our life, every step of our life, we should be thanking Allah. Right now, we breathe. One breath requires two shukrs. Your breath comes out and doesn't go in, you're dead. It goes in and doesn't come out, you're dead. And it goes out, doesn't go back in, death. Every breath requires two times shukr of Allah. But of course, we can't do that. But it's just showing, this is what Allah said, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the ni'am of Allah, you can't count them. But إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَارٌ. But the human is what? Very ungrateful. We have 99 positives, we forget them, and we look at one negative. Oh, gas, electricity is very, very difficult. We're crying about this and crying about that. I've got ears. There's millions, so many people who don't have ears. I can see. This in itself is worth how much? £2 billion. Imagine, eyesight gone, blind. How can you even imagine a life without being able to see? You know, one of the things I used to do before, I haven't done it for a while, but I told some of my friends that once in 24 hours, close your eyes for 10 minutes and try to do certain things for 10 minutes. Maybe I need to do a lecture like that, one bayan, with eyes closed and just talk to people. There was one, I remember one alim who's passed away, rahimahullah, from Pakistan. He used to come to the UK when I was a child. And he used to give a 1 hour bayan, blind. He was blind. Amazing bayan. All his life, he was blind. He learned Quran, hafiz, everything. Imagine in your house, you know, just to think about this great ni'mah of the eyes. 10 minutes, do some things at home. Try to go to the toilet. Okay, where am I going? What's happening? 10 minutes. You've tried it, mashallah. See, this brother's tried it. Now and then, just try. This is a great ni'mah of Allah, the eyes. Great ni'mah. Every ni'mah requires thankfulness. But the Quran says we are ungrateful. You know, there was this lady. She had severe stomach problems. Really bad. They took her to the hospital. So when they were taking her to the hospital, older lady, elderly lady, her family were trying to give her like a bit of sabr and patience. And look, so this, inshallah, everything will be okay. So they came out from the lift, and from the next lift, there was somebody else who was like burned from head to toe. So they said, look, mother, auntie, look, you know, look at this person, patient, fully burnt. She said, yeah, I know he's burnt, but he doesn't have stomach problems like me. This is the example of all of us. Our problem is the biggest problem. Ungratefulness. This dunya, brothers, this dunya is وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. These small, small things for 60, 70 years, this part and parcel of living in this dunya. A bit of illness, sickness, people passing away. This is dunya, darul ibtila wal imtihan. And that's why Jannah is where there's no difficulty and hardship. This is why the greatest ni'mah in Akhirah, in Jannah. What's the greatest ni'mah in Akhirah? Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, the greatest ni'mah, and Allah talks about this many times in the Quran, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No fear, no sadness. No huzn. In this world, you have fear for the future and you have sadness for the past and the present. Oh, I'm sad about this or sad about that. Anxiety, stress. In Jannah, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Great, ni'am. Mentally, you are just calm, stable. There's no issues. This dunya is like, it's part and parcel, but still look at the positives. What we do is we read our lives upside down. Mufti Shafi rahimahullah used to say that we read our lives upside down. So if someone passes away, we say, oh, he passed away and he went too early and this and this and this. 9 negatives and maybe 1 positive. There's a positive in everything. Even illness, illness is a means of, it's a ni'mah, blessing from Allah from 9 different angles. I need about an hour to talk about that. And how illness, sickness can be a ni'mah, is a ni'mah from 9 different ways. And you know, even today in psychology, you know, people who go through mental health, etc., they go to where? Psychologists and therapists. And they'll charge you £500, $200 dollars for 1 hour of counseling. You know what they just do? They just tell you, count your blessings. That's what they just do. I have a friend who's a counselor. He said, I charge £250 for 1 hour session therapy. The only thing I do is just tell them, you've got this ni'mah, you've got this ni'mah, you've got this ni'mah. I said, we've got that in the Quran and Sunnah. Every bayan, we probably talk about that. Islam, it tells us, count your blessings. It's good for you mentally as well to be positive in this dunya. Thankfulness all the time. Talk to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You eat food. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This is why at the time of iftar, some said that drink, you know, we say, Allahumma laka samtu, wa bika amantu, wa alayka tawakkaltu, wa ala rizqika aftart. And then you drink dates and water. After you drink, ذهب الظما وابتلت العروق. Drink as cold water as much as possible. So your Alhamdulillah comes out from deep inside. Alhamdulillah. The Quran tells us about, how does this water get to you? How does milk get to you? You get a glass of water and Allah says, wait, مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. This is a great ni'mah. We just think, drink, milk. For 2 minutes, focus. Look at the milk. Look at this milk. How did it get to me? How did it get to me? Where did it come out from? مِن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ. In the middle of blood and filth of an animal, the process, it came right from the middle. It should have had the smell and of filth and some color of the blood. But when it came out, khalisan, sa'igan, it's clean, it's pure, it's pleasurable for the person who drinks. We eat chapati, rotis. Where has this come from? So much has gone behind this. The whole process of the barley and wheat and every food that is in front of us. Think, this is called muraqabah. This is connecting to Allah with the heart and the mind. Being a Muslim who is connected spiritually, not just all verbally and externally, rather spiritually. This is all thankfulness. I can go on and on, but there's so many aspects. Weather as well, cold weather. Snow is a ni'mah of Allah. Rain is a ni'mah of Allah. Heat is a ni'mah of Allah. We complain when it's very hot. This one sheikh, somebody said, oh, it's too hot, it's too hot. He said, okay, it's too hot, but you only remember the negative of heat. But when it's the time to eat mangoes, you'll eat them. How does these mangoes come about? Is it because of this extreme heat? In Ramadan, you want all the dates and ajwa and khajur and dates and all of this. This can only happen when you get extreme heat. So you're complaining about heat, but then you're happily eating the dates. Heat kills so many bacteria. Every aspect is a ni'mah of Allah. So many ni'mah. There was one sheikh who was so ill. He had pneumonia and he was like fever, really ill. So somebody went to him and said, how are you? He said, Alhamdulillah, my eyes are Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, ears are perfect. Alhamdulillah, my taste is perfect. Alhamdulillah, I can eat. Alhamdulillah, I can move my hand. Alhamdulillah, I can walk. He said, Alhamdulillah, for 40 things. And then he said, I've got a bit of fever and pneumonia. Make dua, Allah give me shifa for that as well. This is the right way of looking at life. Not the upside down way. The right way of looking at positives. Illness is also ni'mah. If you say illness is ni'mah, then you make dua. And I haven't even come to dua, and I don't think I'll have time to go to dua because I just carried on talking about shukr. But illness, I was going to talk about shukr and dua. I said shukr 5 minutes and then dua, but I carried on in shukr. Illness, it's a ni'mah as well. You might ask, why do we not make dua then, that, oh Allah, give me shifa? If it's a ni'mah, then why are you making dua? Do you understand the point? If it's a ni'mah, a blessing, why make dua to Allah that give me shifa? Shifa is also ni'mah. You say, oh Allah, I know illness, sickness is a ni'mah from you. And I know health is also a ni'mah from you. I am a weak servant. Oh Allah, replace the ni'mah of illness with the ni'mah of shifa. I want to choose this ni'mah. They're both ni'mah. But I want this ni'mah, not that ni'mah. No problem. You can make dua. You know, there was a hadith where this Sahabi companion came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his young daughter. It's in Sahih Muslim. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is my daughter. And he was just introducing her and said one thing, إِنَّهَا لَمْ تَمْرِضْ قَطْ. She's never become ill. She's never become ill. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا لَهَا مِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ. She's never had khayr from Allah. She's never received khayr from Allah. Illness is khair. It's removal of sins. It's sometimes, it makes a person humble, you know, down to earth. If you become, you never get illness, sickness, then you become proud and arrogant. I am all powerful, almighty. You know, nothing happens to me. You become pharaoh, like a pharaoh. So this, Allah brings us back down to earth. So many ni'mah. Look at this. I'm just holding my hand right now. I'm just thinking, you know, Imam Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, As-sihhatu tajun ala ru'usil asihha. Health is a crown worn by healthy people. La yubsiruha illa al-marda. Nobody sees this crown except the ill. The ill person doesn't have the ni'mah will say, oh wow. You know, just recently my respected father, who's 86 years of age, and please may dua Allah give him a cure, he had a stroke. Now his left hand, sudden stroke. Just imagine, he was there moving. One stroke comes and that's it. He can't even lift his hand. Can't even do this. We take this for granted right now. Just imagine, I'm moving my hand. One stroke comes and that's it. I have to lift his hand like this, gone like that. Like this, gone. Amazing ni'mah. To be able to walk. This is why shukr. All the time, every minute, we should verbally, Alhamdulillah, thank you Allah, thank you for this. You go into the car, Alhamdulillah, your car started, Alhamdulillah, nothing's happened. You go inside the house, you saw your family in a good state, Alhamdulillah. You saw your children, you enter the house, Alhamdulillah, they're all in a good state. You saw good food, Alhamdulillah. Sleeping time, Alhamdulillah. You wake up, Alhamdulillah, with the mind. You go to the workplace, Allah, Alhamdulillah, I got to the workplace, nothing happened. Every moment of the day, thanking Allah constantly. This will be good in terms of our relationship, connection with Allah. It'll build a connection. At the same time, it is good for your health mentally in this world. You become positive. Remember, deen is not about being negative. All of this, if you're connected to Allah, that's why the people, awliya Allah, la khawfun alayhi wa lahum yahzanun. And even in, this is the meaning of, ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. You know, when we say dhikr brings peace to the hearts, that's not just la ilaha illallah, Allah, Allah. That's not what that's referring to. That's just like 0.1%. Just saying Allah, Allah, tasbih, dhikr brings heart peace. That's not what's, that we just say tasbih, one tasbih, and then we finished for the rest of the day. Dhikr means to keep the mind. Dhikr actually means remembering with the mind. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقْعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Tafakkur is part of the dhikr. There's a higher level of dhikr. One is just saying it with the tongue, and one is with the mind, connection with the mind. And the peace that comes, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily, you find peace with the heart. This is this type of dhikr. You know, in Arabic, if you know Arabic, if someone says, فُلَانٌ يَذْكُرُكْ, one meaning is, that person mentioned you. The other meaning is, the other person remembers you. Dhikr means remember. The more you connect with Allah with the heart and the mind, in salah, outside salah, tilawah of the Quran, your mind is focused. Ruku', your mind is focused. You're eating food. People reach Allah by eating food. There are people who reached Allah through medicine. There are people who reached Allah through studying astronomy. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. You look at the sky, you look at the heavens, you look at the stars, you look at the moon, everything takes you to Allah. This is also ibadah. قُلْ سِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The Quran says, travel in the earth. فَانْظُرُوا. Looking at nature, don't look at buildings. These buildings are nothing. CN Tower, this is man-made manufactured. This is nothing. Go see real beauty, real nature. This is why the worst place to go for a holiday is Dubai Sharif. Because it's all artificial. Out of nowhere, just, you know, made it. It's the worst place on planet Earth. Go to real places where you have real beauty. And make the intention that this is ibadah. Your holiday will become holy day. Even holiday is an act of ibadah if you do it with the right intention. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Look at the mountains, marvel at them. With that intention, looking at a mountain is an act of ibadah. You say, Alhamdulillah, Tabarakallahu Ahsan al-Khaliqeen. How amazing is this creation of Allah. This unique creation of Allah. This is also thankfulness. This is all connecting to Allah through the mind and the heart as well. Also, aspect of thinking about Allah is to think about the Akhirah. Remember I said in the beginning, the mind always thinks about something. To summarize, in the next 5 minutes, because it's important we take away something like a summarized points. A talk which is all over the place is a talk that just with a burp goes. A talk which is a bit structured, then you've got those points in your mind, and then we know what to do. So I'm not going to talk about dua. Maybe some other time I was going to talk about, I had a whole intention of talking about dua, the etiquettes of dua, why dua is not accepted. That's what I had in my mind when I was coming here. But I've gone on to this connection with Allah through the heart and the mind, which means focusing the brain. So one is thanking Allah for all the ni'mah, thinking about like food and all of these things. The other aspect, I said, when we are doing ibadah, whether it's salah, whether it's tilawah of the Quran, whether it's tasbih, whether it's istighfar, whether it's these regular du'as, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, morning adhkar, evening adhkar, know the meanings of them and focus your mind on those. How many things so far? Three? Is everyone awake? Three. What was the first one? I always take a test in my talks. Especially at the end, I want a summary. Focusing on Allah, connecting to Allah with the heart and the mind. Number one, how? What's the first point? Come on. First is the thanks, which is shukr, thankfulness. When you're eating food, any ni'mah, you're constantly thanking Allah with all the different ways I've explained. The other is, number two, in all the types of ibadah we do, whether it's salah, know the meaning of salah, put the mind, I am in ruku' right now, I am in sujood, I am saying attahiyyatu lillah, wa salawatu wa tayyibatu, all the du'ad, all the istighfar, all the dhikr, all the tasbih, tilawah of the Quran. MashaAllah, people doing tilawah of the Quran, but have the meaning. Even ladies doing tilawah of the Quran, but not, the mind is not on the biryani in the kitchen, no. Put that away, Quran, one page is better with focus and mind, better than 10 pages without focus and mind. According to Allah, it's quality, not quantity. Wal-wazn. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, a'mal are weighed, wazn. And the wazn comes about with quality. 2 rak'at tahajjud salah with quality is better than 12 rak'at tahajjud salah where you're thinking about Tim Hortons. You rather pray 2. Less reciting of the Quran with quality is better than more reciting with no quality. So all the ibadah, connecting to all, focusing with the mind and the heart. So that's 2 things. Number 3, thinking about all these, looking at nature. That's number 3 point. I said, looking at the mountains, إِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Looking at إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the alternation of the night and the day, لَآيَاتِ, there are signs, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And then Allah says, الَّذِينِ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They think, reflect, ponder on the creation. Look at the stars. Yeah, young people who get married, go and, you know, mashallah, looking at the stars with your wife, with your husband, romantic. Make your romantic ibadah. Go and sit outside and just marvel at the moon and, you know, amazing, look at Allah's creation. This in itself is ibadah. If you go on a holiday, make it as a holiday of ibadah where you look at nature, look at the ocean, look at the bahar, look at the ocean. How many years has this ocean been there? There's no change to the ocean. It hasn't become old. Has the ocean got grayness? Yeah, we all get, 60, 70, start getting. This ocean is as young as it was on day one. So this is number 3. All this great, you know, how rain falls, how water evaporates, and then it becomes clouds and all of this. That's the third part. And there's one last one to think about, is to think about Akhirah. Remember the 3 so far, yes? I'm going to ask you all 4 again in 2-3 minutes time. Thinking about connecting the mind and the heart about Akhirah. We thought about sometimes, you're driving your car on 406. Is it 406? 401, or yeah, I don't know all these numbers. It's like all these highways. MashaAllah, you know, nice big cars and big roads and thinking. Drive. But make sure that you focus on the road as well. Okay. Don't have an accident. Think about Jannah. Imagine one day I'll be in Jannah, one day I'll have a palace, one day I'll have a road, one day I'll be in a car in Jannah. Amazing ni'mah of Allah. The ni'mah is mentioned in the Quran. Thinking about Jannah, about Akhirah, about seeing Allah, how will it be? The eternal life. This is a 60, 70 year life. 70 years. Anything over 60, 70, 65 is a bonus. Then it's just downhill. Life is like a log flume. You know what a log flume is? We have this, you know, the boats. You know, in theme parks, you have this, you go, and then you splash down those boats. We call it log flumes in the UK. I always say that the first part of life is going up. Like when you're growing old, life doesn't seem as fast because you've got all these different marahil, stages, you know, graduation and marriage and first child and home. So it's slow. So it's going slow. So when you get about 30, now it's just one straightforward life. Down. And you'll be 65 like this and your life is gone. 65, 70 is average. How many years next life? Eternity. Imagine in dunya, in Jannah, after 400 years, one day you come out of your palace. Assalamu alaikum, brother Abdullah. Wa alaikum salam. Do you remember one day, one long 400 years ago, we used to live in a place called dunya. Dunya, there was dunya. Oh yes, there was dunya. Yeah, I was born and I think I was there and then I got married, I had a child, a grandchild, and I died. It's a dream. That's why the Quran says, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ تُحَاهَا. When you are in Jannah and in Akhirah, this dunya will seem like إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ تُحَاهَا. This whole 70 years will seem like one moment of the evening. Ashiya means evening, sham in Urdu. Oh, duhaha. Or, you know, duha prayer we pray. Moment of the morning. That's it. This is what this life is. It's one evening. So, focusing on the Akhirah. Focusing on Jannah. Thinking about the ni'am of Jannah, etc. Don't think about Jahannam. The ulama say, don't think about it. Why are you thinking that you're going to go in Jahannam? Allah forbid, Allah protect us. No. Inshallah, we will not be going into. We are in the masjid. Inshallah, we will be going Jannah. Have husnul dhan billah. But think about resurrection. Think about Hisab. Think about reckoning. We'll be all standing that day. The book of deeds will be coming. Will it come in my right hand or the left hand? This on that day will be on the plane. Allah will question. Think about this as well. Think about death as well. Go to the graveyard some days. Just walk through the graves. You know, this is the person I just saw last year. He was alive. How many people were alive last Ramadan? I just found out this brother. I didn't know he passed away. I just found out today. Brother, what's his name? Saleh? Hafiji? I didn't know he passed away. I got a shock. Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. We used to go to his house quite often, and mashallah, all the scholars who used to come here for programs, every time we used to eat at his house. Young person, people are going away. Think about death. You go in the graveyard, you know, some of the early scholars said that in the graveyard, when you're walking in between graves, it's as though they say with the lisanul, you know, the people in the graves are saying that, kama antum kada kunna. كما أنتم كذا كنا وكما نحن تكونون. Like you are, we were like that. Like you are walking around on top of graves and in between. Idraja, oh, come this way, oh, come this way. We were like that as well, walking around the graves. وكما نحن تكونون. And like how we are buried, you're going to be like this in 10, 15 years. So think about that as well. Akhira, Jannah, Hisab, reckoning. Seeing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the four things, inshallah. Focusing deen is about connecting to Allah with the heart, with the mind, with the heart. Not live a robotic Islamic life. Make your Islam not an automatic robot car. Make it manual. Make our Islam manual. Not just robotic, not just something you just do because Ramadan comes. Why are we doing suhoor? Why? Because everyone does it. People have iftar, suhoor, it's just programmed because it just happens. No. Ask yourself the question, why am I fasting? This is another topic. I need 5 hours to talk about why we fast. What intention should you be having when you're fasting? Why are we praying taraweeh? What's the maqsad and the inner meanings behind i'tikaf? So all these things. So the four things to connect to Allah with the heart and with the mind. Number one, quickly finish. Shukr, thankfulness. Of all the ni'ams that we get. Number two. Yeah. Understanding and contemplating on the meanings of all the ibadah. Salah, tilawah, tasbih, istighfar, dhikr, all of it. Number three. Yeah. Pondering on Allah's creation and nature. And number four. Thinking about Jannah, about Akhirah, about Hisab, and connecting the mind and the heart. This brain that Allah has given us is an amazing thing. If we connect to Allah with the brain, then inshallah this makes you a wali of Allah. May Allah grant us the tawfiq and ability. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.